Good morning. My name is Faye, for those who don't know me. Participation first. How many of you this summer planted seeds in your garden? Put your hands up. What seeds did you plant? David? Dave?
Poppies.
Runner
beans.
Sorry?
Runner beans.
Right.
Runner beans.
And I know Woody planted runner beans. We've had loads of them. But how many of you planted the seed of faith? You won't know, really, if you did or no, because if you've talked about God, you don't always see the outcome, do you? My talk today is about how I became a Christian. It took a long time. As a child, or as a baby, I was christened. I was sent to Sunday school every Sunday. I didn't enjoy it. I was made to go to Bible class as a young teenager. I didn't enjoy that. That was absolutely boring. I joined the choir, only for the fact I got paid to be in the choir. I got 10 shillings a year, 2 and 6 every quarter. That's the reason I stayed. But because I stayed in the choir, I had to be confirmed as well. Again, truthfully, it didn't mean anything. So when I was 15 and left school, I also left church. The only time I went back to church then, until my 50s, was christenings, funerals, and weddings. My story actually begins in 2001, when Woody and myself took our two grandsons on holiday with our caravan. They were 11 and 13. So we pulled up at the campsite, and if you go camping or even caravanning, you know there's always work to do before you can settle in. So we sent the boys off to the park, and Woody starts emptying the caravan and putting the awning up. We just about finished putting the awning up, and thinking, well, we'll sit down outside now, as an old gentleman from the caravan next door came out of his caravan and said, "Hello, I'm a Christian." Right, great. I said to Woody, because Woody was actually going home on the Sunday night and I stayed there for the week with the boys. I said to Woody, "I'll go home. You can stay with the boys." I can imagine him preaching at me all week. So he didn't bother us again at all. Woody had gone home. So on the Monday, the boys had gone out to play. He'd evidently spoken to the boys, because there was suddenly a knock on my caravan door. "Hello, we've come for your tea and cake." They'd learnt that we had homemade cake in the caravan. "Oh, what? Oh, welcome, come in. Come on in." So they came in and sat down, and he told me a story about how he had just got out of hospital. He'd had a massive brain hemorrhage, evidently pretty bad, because the surgeons didn't expect him to live. In fact, they were quite surprised that he was alive. The fact that his wife, while he was in hospital, went out and bought a caravan to go caravanning in was another mystery, really. So he started telling me little stories of what God had done. So throughout that week, we got to know David. His name was David. His wife was Nikki. And they were nice people. He didn't preach to me. That's one thing. But he just dropped little snippets here and there. As we were ready to leave the campsite, Nikki said to me, "We should exchange telephone numbers." Well, I don't know about you, but you very rarely keep in touch with anyone on holiday, do you? But later in the week, Nikki rang, and she asked us, would we like to go to lunch with them one Sunday? And I thought, oh, that'll be lovely. Yeah, smashing. Then came the crunch. Would you like to come to church first? Not really, but I couldn't be rude. I really couldn't be rude, so I looked at Martin and we sort of grinned and said, well, yeah, okay, fine. Now, my idea of a church was that, a church with pews, sit up straight, don't talk, don't smile, don't do anything, actually. Just sit there and be bored. So we went to church. It was huge. It was a school hall. There was about 300 people in there. They had a band, a group, drums, guitars. It was noisy. It was lively. I've never seen a church like that. It was a very nice church, actually, and a good atmosphere. So each month we would go down to Nikki and David and go to their church. More so for the lunch, but it was okay going to church. And then one time we went down and there was this young man giving a talk. I don't know what it was about now, but something happened that morning. He finished his talk and I already had this weird feeling in me. I don't know, something had really hit me. I felt quite emotional. And he said, if anyone got anything from that talk, put your hand up. Well, this hand's trying to go up, that hand's holding it down. There's no way. I am not going to make myself look an idiot in front of all these people. So the minute the talk finished, I really had to get out. Normally we would have gone and sat down with Nikki and David and had coffee. But I was just about to erupt into tears, so I shot outside, wondering what's happened. I didn't know what had happened. I just felt really queer. Really, something's happened. But I turn round and Woody's outside. What's the matter with you? I don't know. Something's just happened. Oh, he had tears in his eyes. So we thought, well, he had already said, if you want prayer afterwards, you'd better come up to the front for prayer. So I said to Martin, well, perhaps we need prayer. I don't know. So we walked back in. I looked across at David and he's looking and he went, yes! You might think that, but no, not yet. But yeah, we thought then perhaps we needed a church closer to home. So they actually found two churches for us. One was Ebley Chapel. We tried that. They were actually renovating it at the time, and there was only about six people there. Well, after coming from a church of about 300, it wasn't right. We kept wishing we was back down Yate. So again, we went back to Yate. And then they told us about Stroud Christian Fellowship. So we thought, right, we'll just pop along, see what the reception's like, see what the welcome's like, because at Yate we had been so welcomed. When we went, it was at the Stroud Girls High School, and we didn't tell anyone we was going to go, we just went, walked in, and we had a massive welcome. It was really good. And I suppose then they had about 100 people there or more. And yeah, it was like being back at Yate. So we thought, right, we found our church. So then Nikki and David started to come up to our church sometimes. They thought it was good. In those days, we asked for an Alpha course, which we did. We wanted to know more about this God. If we were going to follow it, then we needed to know more. So we did an Alpha course. We did a foundation course in those days. And then we thought, after a few months, we thought, perhaps it's time to get baptized. Our choice, not my mum's choice, my choice. So Martin arranged a baptism for us, and we were both baptized together. Woody and Martin baptized me. So then I think from that day on, that day of my baptism was when my journey as a Christian started. The lead up to it, I hadn't really gone into it, but we asked Jesus into our lives that day. So I think that's when my journey actually started. So just like David told me stories of what God did for him, I now try to tell other people stories of what God did for me. I've got lots of stories to tell of what God's done for me over the years, of answered prayer, and things that have happened. I have a story I want to tell you now, and it's about how God spoke to me and answered prayer. I go to Friday morning prayer warriors. I think I've been going there ever since I started church, really, about 6 months after I started at Christian Fellowship. And this one morning, Martin threw us a challenge. Now, I'm always up for a challenge, even if it scares me to death. A bit like crossing the bridge. You will cross the bridge, he said. He said, on Sunday, I want some of you to go out the front and pray for others. That was my worst nightmare, truthfully, because I don't never find the right words when I'm praying for someone. So this Sunday morning, Martin said, right, if we can have some people out to pray for others. Well, there was only two of us that went out, Graham Spring and me. And I'm right at the front. I didn't get to the back. I was right at the front. So this one man came out and was asking for prayer, and I don't know what that was about now. But all the time I'm praying for him, I keep looking across at Sue and Martin's son, Stephen. He was about 16, 17 then. And God is telling me he needs prayer. Well, yeah. I'm not going to go and grab him. So I'm having a little argument with God, actually. But he needs prayer. Pray for him. Well, yeah, will you get him out here then? That was my idea. I'm not going to go over there. He was sat next to his mum. Can you imagine if I went and grabbed him? I'm not going anywhere. I'm stopping here. So I'm saying to God, well, if you want him to have prayer, you get him to me. Well, then Stephen looked round and looked at me, and I said, oi, come here. And he's going. I said, no, you. Me? Yeah, you. Come here. So he came up and he said, what? I said, I don't know. God just told me to pray for you. With that, he broke down and cried on my shoulder. And I'm thinking, well, thanks, God. What am I supposed to do now? This is great. So I let him calm down. And I said to him, well, what's wrong with you? God's telling me you need prayer. What do you need prayer for? He said, I've been applying for jobs for ages. I'm not hearing anything back. I'm not getting interviews, nothing. And I think he was pretty low at the time. So I prayed with him that morning for interviews or an interview. And he sat down and service was finished. But that week, I could not stop praying for Stephen. That's not me at all. I pray when I have to or when I need to, but I'm not one that prays continually. It wouldn't leave me. I couldn't, in my car, at work, I just couldn't stop praying all week. Sue knew I was praying. Sue knew I'd prayed for Stephen. And it was later that week, I think it was the week after, wasn't it, that Sue rang me and said, you'll never guess, Stephen got an interview next week. Oh, wow, that's brilliant. So now I'm praying. Well, okay, you told me to pray for him. You've done the interview. You can't now give him a job. So now I'm again praying. Well, you can't let him down now, God. You've got to give him this job. But Sue again, had rang me and said, he's got another interview. So he had two interviews the following week. So again, for another week, I'm praying continually, day and night, at work. Sue later in the week rings me and says, that first interview, he's been offered a job. Wow. That was amazing. But then she rang me the next day and said, he's got another one as well if he wants it. God really does answer prayer. So how many stories do you tell to people? It's surprising by just telling a story of what God has done for you or what you have seen God do for others may plant that seed in someone else. I was looking through my phone this morning on TikTok, okay. I saw this little thing come up. It was music from Christian music. And it said, I didn't find God through a church telling me. I didn't find God through my parents telling me. I found God through being told stories and experiences. And I thought, wow, that really goes well with my talk this morning, so I had to just read that to you. My summing up is, I thought David was a real weirdo when he came out of his caravan and said, I'm a Christian. Great. Well, now I'm really proud to be one of those weirdos. Go to church every week. In fact, I go several days a week. I do Friday prayer warriors. I run a small house group. And I'm also going to be doing this Wednesday course again. Just like David told me his stories of what God had done for him, I now tell others what God is doing for me. I'm now planting the seed in others. So don't be shy. Tell your friends your stories. Give your testimonies to others. Let them know about Jesus. Once you plant that seed, God will do the rest. Thank you.